So across the second half of March, we're preparing for, I said, one person, inviting one person, regardless of the results. And we kicked off the series last week by looking at the urgency of invitation. We saw that if someone has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet, they're in effect defaming God's name. They're basically saying that the most loving, gracious, generous, kind, powerful, merciful, gentle, forgiving, enjoyable, and all-round beautiful creature in all creation is actually unimportant, or not really very caring, or just wrong. And it should hurt us when God's name is defamed like that. We should be urgently calling people to come and see the real Jesus. But here's the thing, that's hard. It's hard in terms of effort, but it's also hard in terms of building up the courage to do that. And so what I want to look at today is the power behind making Outreach April a success. And I want to begin with a story. This is a true story. It comes from a book. Let's see if this is going to work. There you go. No, back one. All right. This book, Let God Guide You Daily by Wesley Jewell. And it's a story about a man that Jewell knew called Duncan Campbell, who was a revival preacher back in the 1950s. And this story happened one Monday evening. It was the Monday after Easter in 1952. And Duncan Campbell had just finished preaching to a faith mission convention in Northern Ireland. And he sat down, he was still on the platform, and he heard this little voice inside his head which said, "Burn Array." Now, Burn Array is a small island in the Hebrides, which is a group of islands off the coast of Scotland. And after he heard this voice, he just sat there and he prayed quietly to himself. He said, "Look, is that your voice, Lord? Was that you that said that?" And the voice came a second time in his head, "Burn Array." Now, he didn't know anyone from Burn Array. He'd never even been to Burn Array, right? And so he just kept praying. He's like, "Something's going on here. What's going on?" He kept praying, and the voice came a third time, "Burn Array." And so Campbell turns to the chairman at the convention, and who's sitting on the platform with him. He said, "Look, Mr. Chairman, you're going to have to excuse me because the Holy Spirit has just told me to go to Burn Array." And the chairman looked at him and went, "Well, you're actually down to speak tomorrow night again." And Campbell says, "Look, what can I do? The Holy Spirit has led me and told me that I need to go to Burn Array." And so the chairman agreed, and Campbell went back to his hotel. He packed his two suitcases. He got on the phone and booked a flight to Burn Array. The problem was Burn Array didn't have an airport. It's too small an island. So he says, "Well, send me to the airport closest to Burn Array." And so he got on got booked in a flight. He went on the next flight straight to the airport, off to this island, a neighbouring island. And when he landed, he went down to the coast and he asked the guys there, "How do you get to Burn Array?" And all the fishermen said, "Look, there's no commercial boats to Burn Array." But one of the fishermen was willing to take him. The fee, though, just so happened to be about how much money Campbell had in his pocket. So he takes him on board, takes him to Burn Array, drops him on the edge of the island, and then takes off. Campbell takes his two suitcases, walks up the hill, up the bluff, to a local farm. And he sees a farmer walking across the paddock, and he waves the farmer down and he says, "Can you please go and tell the local pastor that Duncan Campbell is here?" And the farmer looks at him and goes, "Look, I don't actually think we have a minister at our church at the moment." And he goes, "Oh, okay, well, do you have some local elders?" And he goes, "Yeah, I think I know one of them." He said, "Can you go please tell him that Duncan Campbell is here?" So the farmer walks off, leaving Campbell sitting on his suitcase. And he comes back a little while later with a really quizzical look on his face and he says, "The elder was expecting you. And he set a room up for you in his farmhouse for you can stay here with him. And he's organised a whole bunch of services, the first starting tonight at 9 p.m. Now, what had happened, according to Jewell, was that the local elder had felt a burden 3 days prior to pray for a revival on his island of Burn Array. And he had spent the whole day in his barn, in a type of prayer vigil, if you will, asking God to send Duncan Campbell to the island. Duncan Campbell, the man who had been used mightily in revivals in other parts of Scotland. And he was so sure that God would answer his prayer that he made all the arrangements to use the local church and announce the services in advance. Now, what Wesley Jewell, who retells this story, says is that a great revival broke out on Burnaray over the next couple of days. Why? He says, because a great door for the word was opened that no human could shut, because God opened it. Now, friends, if we are going to bear any fruit at all from Outreach April, it will come only through the power of prayer. Right? If you want to know what the power behind invitation is, it's prayer. In fact, Wesley Jewell says, when God has a people who prevail in prayer, there is no limit to what God can do. And so what I want to ask you today is, will you pray with me for Outreach April? Will you pray? Devote yourselves to prayer, as the Apostle Paul commands in Colossians 4:2. Will you pray that God will soften the hearts of our non-Christian contacts? Will you pray that the gospel will be proclaimed clearly and helpfully at all our services? Friends, if prayer is the power behind outreach, the power behind invitation, will you pray with me for Outreach April? Now, that's my hope. That's what I want for us. And I've got 3 points today that your sermon outline shows that will hopefully inspire us to do this. We're going to begin by looking at how Paul wants us to pray, the method of prayer. We're going to follow that by looking at the content of Paul's prayer. And we're going to finish by looking at what will actually give us the strength, give us the impetus to pray like this, to actually do what Paul is calling us to do. So the method of prayer, the content of prayer, and the impetus of prayer. So let's begin. And our passage today is a very short passage, coming towards the end of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And it begins with these words. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, what does it mean to be devoted to something? Well, it means that it's important to us, doesn't it? But it's even more than that. You see, when someone says things like, oh, look, that woman is devoted to her family, or that man is devoted to his job, right? Excuse the gender stereotypes. But what are they saying by that? Are they saying that most women are not devoted to their family or don't care about their family? Most men don't care about their jobs? Of course not. What they're saying is that this particular person seems to go above and beyond what normal people who love their family or love their job normally do. To be devoted to something means that that thing consumes you, right? It consumes your life. One of the guys in my Bible study this week said that Greg Norman was devoted to hitting, 100 golf balls a day. Sorry, 1,000 golf balls a day when he was playing. Right? Golf consumed him. And Paul says that prayer should consume the Christian. It should be of such importance that we take intentional steps every day to make it part of our life. And can I say that that means carving out a regular section for prayer every day? There are some Christians who say, oh, look, I prefer to pray throughout the day in intervals. Whenever something comes up, I just pray for that. I want my whole life to be saturated by prayer. Now, let me say, it is great to have our whole life soaked in prayer. But you cannot have deep communion with God on the run. You cannot have deep communion with anyone on the run, can you? Right? Fitting God into the cracks of our day is not being devoted to prayer. Now, don't stop praying at intervals during the day. Don't hear me saying that. But if we want to be devoted to prayer, then we need to set aside a chunk or chunks of time. That's what Daniel did 3 times a day. In the book of Daniel, he sat to pray. That's what being devoted to prayer looks like, and that's what Paul is commanding us here. It's a command. Be devoted to prayer. And when we're doing that, we are to be watchful. Now, it literally means to keep awake, to keep alert. But what does it mean to keep alert in prayer? Well, where else do we need to keep awake or keep alert in life? Well, it's when we're looking out for enemies, isn't it? There's a scene in the movie Platoon where the platoon of soldiers is out in the middle of the jungle, the Vietnam jungle, at night. The soldiers need sleep, so what do? They take turns in staying awake to keep watch. But on the second or third watch, the soldier keeping watch falls asleep. And they're overrun by an enemy platoon, and one of them is killed. John Piper says, being watchful is the note of prayer that is often missing when the church has settled into the world and is just using prayer as a domestic intercom rather than a wartime walkie-talkie. Now, what's he getting at with that? He's saying that the mission we are a part of is deadly serious. Right? It is the difference between heaven and hell for people. And the enemy wants to overrun that mission. So let us be watchful. Let us pray as though this is the last chance our non-Christian contacts will have to hear the gospel. That's what it means to be watchful in prayer. Then while we've been watchful, we are also to be thankful. But what about, you may ask? What are we to be thankful about? Well, the context, as we're about to see, is opening a door for the gospel message. So we can be thankful that God opened a door in our own heart for the gospel message. In fact, it's very hard to pray that God will open the door in someone else's heart without remembering when God first opened that door to our heart. We need to thank God for the fact that we came to the realization that we need to do something about our sin, that we need our sin forgiven, taken away. And we can thank God that he showed us the way to do that, which is through putting our faith in the Lord Jesus and saying sorry and having that sin taken away by the cross. We can be thankful for that. But at the same time, I think there's also an element of being thankful for the prayers God will answer, for the doors God will open up. Imagine praying like that. I thank you, Lord, that you will open the door to your gospel message. So that's the method of prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul then turns to the content of his prayer in verse 3. Read it with me. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So there are two things Paul prays for here. And the first is that a door be open for his message. Now, what does it mean for God to open a door to his message? Well, I take it it's the opposite of hitting a brick wall. I don't know about you, but when I usually bring up the topic of Jesus or Christianity or coming to church with people, I often hit a brick wall. I mentioned, I think it was last week, that I've handed two of our cards to two of my neighbours so far. And one of those neighbours I had a very warm conversation with until I mentioned the events at church and handing him a card. And I noticed, I watched his face just drop when I mentioned that. And the conversation became very cold. It became very one-sided. It was all me talking. And he looked like he was starting to try and get out of the conversation. When the topic of conversation changed, he warmed back up again and we chatted for another 5 or 10 minutes. It was actually me that had to end that conversation in the end. But friends, that's the norm for conversations, gospel conversations with non-Christians, is it not? It's like hitting a brick wall. To pray for God to open a door means asking God to change circumstances so that it'll actually be easy to start a conversation about Jesus. To change attitudes so that people will want to have conversations about spiritual things, and to change receptivity so that our invitations or our gospel conversations become, get this, unusually effective. That's what he's talking about here. When Colossians 4:3 says, open a door, he means for God to change circumstances, attitudes, and receptivity so that the gospel message will become unusually effective. And notice who's asking this. Right, it's the Apostle Paul. Right, this is the greatest evangelist who ever lived, save for the Lord Jesus. This is the man who the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, specifically appeared to on the road to Damascus to set him aside to be the gospel of the Gentiles. This is the man who took the gospel to the ends of the earth in the book of Acts. This is the man whose preaching and writings have been responsible for more converts than any other Christian in human history. And the Apostle Paul says that the effectiveness of his God-given mission, his message, is dependent on the prayers of the church. So how much more do you think our effectiveness is dependent on prayer? The greatest evangelist of our time knew this as well. I actually watched that Billy Graham documentary last Sunday. It's a great one. It says, Billy Graham preached to more people face-to-face than any other person in history. And when you see the footage of crusade after crusade after crusade with tens of thousands of people at all of them, there's no arguing with that. In his book, John Pollock wrote the authorized biography of Billy Graham, and he said this, prayer and Bible reading, inextricably intertwined, are the taproots of Billy Graham's character and of his message. Friends, we can either go through the motions of Outreach April without prayer and hit a brick wall, or we can devote ourselves to praying that God will open a door for our message. The second thing that Paul asks for is that we will proclaim that message clearly as he should. Now, why should he? Well, it's because heaven and hell are in the balance. Right? If the message is preached in an unhelpful or unclear way, the enemy will pounce straight away. Right? He will drive people away from Jesus. We want the opposite. We want them drawn near to Jesus. And again, though, notice that this will not be achieved through hard work, through more Bible studies, through using Two Ways to Live, through doing a Toastmasters course in how to be a better preacher. It comes through the prayers of the saints. And if this is true for the Apostle Paul, then how much more is it true for you and me? Friends, will we devote ourselves to praying that the message preached here each and every week will be clear and helpful? Will we devote ourselves to praying for Outreach April? My suspicion is that the answer to that question for most of us is, put me down for a definite maybe, Brendan. Most of us are probably sitting here thinking, look, it sounds good. All right, the Bible commands devotion to prayer. The Apostle Paul desperately sought devotion to prayer. Whenever a revival has broken out in human history, it has unanimously been because God's people have devoted themselves to prayer. And so I want to devote myself to praying for Outreach April, Brennan, but I know that when I leave this building today, that message will leave my head as well. I know that when I go out in the world, probably nothing will change. Now, here's the question. Do we want that to be the case? Do we actually want this last 20 minutes or so to be a complete waste of time? My suspicion is no. So what is going to make the difference? Right? What will actually make us spend the next 4 to 5 weeks being devoted to praying for Outreach April? If prayer is the power behind outreach, the power behind invitation, what will get us to actually pray? Well, the answer is God. Only God can change hearts. We can work our guts out of this. We can beat ourselves black and blue trying to devote ourselves to prayer, but nothing will actually change unless God first changes our heart. And so if we want to be devoted to prayer, what we need to do first is pray that God will make us devoted to prayer. Or at least that's what I did. Forgive me if you've heard this before, but about 3 years ago, I read Tim Keller's book on prayer. It's called, incidentally, Prayer. And this book convicted me that as a Christian, and in particular a pastor, I was not spending enough time with God. So back then, I'd spend about 20 minutes with God 3 or 4 times a week. I'd read a chapter or two of the Bible. I'd pray quickly and then bang, straight into emails or whatever else I'm doing for the day. I wanted that to change, though. And so what I did, I wanted to be a person that was devoted to prayer and to spending time with God. And so what I did was I decided, look, on Monday morning, I'm going to set aside 2 hours. Now, I have the enormous privilege of doing that as a pastor. You may not have the privilege to be able to set aside 2 hours to this, but that's what I did. And I said, I'm not going to, like, between 9 and 11, I'm not going to touch my work. I'm going to spend time with God. And so I did that. I set it aside. And when I started with this prayer. I said, Lord, please change my heart so that I will actually want to do this. Lord, please change my heart so that private devotions will not be a burden that I have to do every day. They will actually be a delight that I look forward to every day. And I spent 2 hours with God. I read 4 chapters of the Bible. I meditated on Psalm 1, and then I spent an hour and a half in prayer. And I got to the end of it, and I went, actually, that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. So I said, all right, Tuesday, we'll do the same thing, 9 to 11, same thing. And I started again with the prayer, Lord, please change my heart so that I will want to do this. And by the third day, I was hooked. It took 3 whole days for God to change my heart because of that prayer. Why? Because I'm praying in line with what his will is. How can he not want that for his people? And from that day till now, there have been very few days that I have not spent 1 to 2 hours in private devotion with God. Because I want to. I look forward to it now. Because he changed my heart. So here's our application for today. Right? So if you have zero interest in praying for Outreach April, feel free to switch off right now. This is not for you. But if you want to be the kind of Christian that the Bible calls us to be, if you want to be the kind of Christian that is devoted to prayer, this is what I want us to do. All right? In reflection time, we're going to have in a few minutes, I want you to get your phone out. This is one of the only times I'll let you do this in church. All right? I want you to get your phone out, and I want you to put an alarm in your phone for a time tomorrow that you know you will have 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes. It could be over breakfast, maybe a lunch break, could be before you go to bed at night. I don't care when it is. But you need to know that you will have 10 to 15 minutes spare at that time. And I want you to put an alarm in your phone for that. Put in your calendar or an alarm, I don't care what it is. And then I want you to set aside that 10 to 15 minutes just tomorrow. I only want you to do this for once. I'll just do it tomorrow. And I want you to start with this prayer. Lord, please change my heart and make me want to pray. Lord, please change my heart and make me want to pray. And then spend the next 10 to 15 minutes praying for Outreach April. Pray that God will soften the hearts of your non-Christian contacts. Pray that the message will be proclaimed clearly. Pray that a door will be opened that cannot be shut by any human. Pray for a revival. Now, the content and the method of that prayer is not as important as how I want you to start that prayer. I want you to pray, just do it tomorrow. Lord, please change my heart and make me want to pray. And if you enjoy that, then put another alarm in your phone for the next day and see what God does. Because, friends, without prayer, we are just hitting our heads against a brick wall. But if we are a people devoted to prayer, a people that prevail in prayer, then there is no limit to what God can accomplish through our little church. So, friends, will you pray with me for Outreach April?